The reading for tonight is from Galatians 6, beginning with chapter 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and everyone to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Rise as you're able for the hearing of our Lord's gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way, behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. The one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. Normally, I have a children's sermon at this time, But I don't want to put Emma, seeing she's a guest with us tonight for the first time and 3 years old, on the spot. And so as a preface to my sermon, because we're all children of God, I want to share with you what I was going to share with the little ones if we'd had 8 or 10 of them here tonight. I think they're all on vacation. First of all, I was going to say to them, sowing and reaping, two sewing machines. You see the one that's right here? This is the one that I spend most of my time on. Not. No, my wife does, my son does, but I don't use this kind of a sewing machine. It's kind of heavy. This is much more my weight. You fill this with what? Grass seed, and it becomes a hand spreader. You spread the grass around. So we have a sower, S-O-W-E-R, and we have sewing, S-E-W-I-N-G, and we talk about, do you know, so and so, in reference to a person. Well, I wanted the children to understand that there are lots of ways of sowing, but there's always a purpose, and that's the harvest. What is it that you want to reap? What do you want to get when you sow? If a farmer is going to sow oats, then they want to get oats. If they sow corn, they don't want to raise asparagus, at least not generally speaking. And so if I'm sowing the grass, I want a lush crop of green, thick grass, and I don't want weeds. And if you're like my wife, and you're a seamstress, and you love to sew, well, then you take cloth, like maybe made of cotton, from a seed that becomes material. And that material then can be sewn, and something can be produced, like a bunch of quilts here in a bag that will be delivered to New Life, a pregnancy center, so that the sacredness of life can be lifted up, and so that vulnerable young mothers can have their new babies wrapped in the prayers and the love of God's people. Sowing and reaping. God gives us Jesus, the sower, and the seed, and plants this seed in our hearts, and guarantees for you and for me a harvest. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. For you are the Lord of the harvest, you are the sower, and you are the seed. And thank you, Lord, for guaranteeing the harvest of heaven and for writing our names with your blood in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies our longings as nothing else would do. The saved are sent. So my question is this. Do you love to tell the story of Jesus and his love, his redeeming sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, his resurrection on the third day, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection unto eternal life? Do you love to tell the story? Or do you prefer only to sing a hymn by the same name? St. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 that in baptism we are clothed, so to speak. In a manner of speaking, but more than that, we are clothed for the purpose. The seed is sown in our hearts for the reason that you and I might be missionaries, that we who have been saved by God might be on a mission for God through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Clothed, so to speak. to proclaim the wonderful deeds of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. What does baptism mean for daily living? Well, it means proclaiming the faith of Jesus, that there is salvation in no other name. It was 3 years ago, right here in this sanctuary, right in these seats, right here, that I gathered with members of the Bolton family. It was June 29th, 2016. And we gathered here because as saved people, we were consecrating two young men, Dane and Cole Bolton, because they were both in high school and they were going over to Zimbabwe on a mission trip where they would be at for over a month and where there would be some uncertainties and hazards and, well, who knows, danger. Their younger sister, Taya, she had tears coming from her eyes, not just because, oh, I'm going to miss my brothers, but more than that, because she knew, as you heard in our gospel for tonight, Jesus says to the 72, I'm sending you out as sheep, which makes sense because he's the good shepherd, the good shepherd. And we are his lambs enfolded into his kingdom. He says, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And so young Taya had reason for concern 3 years ago because her two brothers in high school, Cole and Thane, were going on a mission for God. This past year, Cole finished his first year of college at Wheaton College. And next fall, he'll be in his second year, and Dane will be in his first year at Wheaton College. They know that they are saved by the grace of God. And they know that if one is saved, then one is sent. Or in the words of Charles Spurgeon, one is either a missionary or an imposter. One is either a missionary or an imposter. The saved are sent. Last Saturday night, when my wife and I were out in Denver, Colorado with family, Pastor Jack Miller was the guest preacher. Now, maybe you don't know, or maybe you do, but last Saturday, the 27th, is the National Commemorative Day every year for the memory of the Christian martyr. And the Voice of the Martyrs, their head office is located out in Oklahoma. And in the city of their home office, they have a martyr's memorial. And last week, some new names were added to that memorial. The 27th of June, because by tradition, that is when St. Paul was martyred for the faith of Jesus. So last Saturday, we remember the martyrs of our faith, those who died for the faith of Jesus. And last Saturday, if you wanted to, you could either be in Oklahoma present for the ceremony, or you could listen to it online. You can still listen to it online. I did it the other day. About an hour-long ceremony, lots of prayers, lots of memories and stories shared of those who heard the call of God, those who are saved and understood what it means to be sent. Like one of the stories I heard. It was about April 2014, and a doctor by the name of Dr. Jerry and two of his friends were in Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan. And in that setting, people are not particularly receptive to Jesus or the gospel. In fact, if you're Muslim and you convert, well, you can be killed and executed. It's as simple as that. But in the hospital there in Kabul, they are witnessing, and they were witnessing to Jesus and to the gospel through compassion and care and kindness and through their testimonies. But in April of 2014, all three of them were killed. Now, there was a woman, an Afghanistan woman, who worked in the hospital there, who witnessed the slaying. Now go ahead about a year or so, and this particular Afghan woman is listening to some people speak about Jesus, the Savior of the world. And the Lord opened her heart, just like he did with Lydia in the book of Acts. And this Afghan woman is listening to the story, the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. And then she says, I need to tell you something. She said, about a year ago or so, in April of 2014, I was there, and right in front of my eyes, I saw them mowed down with guns and bloody the hospital floor with Dr. Jerry and his two friends. But you know what else I saw? I saw an angel coming down from heaven and lifting those three men up and taking them up to heaven. I didn't understand it. I thought, this makes no sense. These men are foreigners. These men are followers of Christ. They are supposed to go to hell. They are not Muslims. They don't get to go to heaven. I didn't understand it. But now that I've heard the story of Jesus, I understand that the angels were taking them to heaven because they were followers of Christ. When this Afghan woman heard the gospel, she came to faith in Jesus. She's a Christ follower, and so now she shares her testimony, and she shares this. The blood of Dr. Jerry and his two friends was not sacrificed in vain, for Jesus used it to give me a vision from God and to bring me to saving faith in Christ. The saved are sent. And even though it is dangerous for this Afghan woman, who is now a Christ follower, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus, she does it boldly because she knows it's true. I love to tell the story for those who have never heard, because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else would do. Which brings us to our gospel reading for tonight. Luke chapter 10. If Darrell and Letha had been here tonight, because 3 years ago he read Luke 10, as we had that commissioning and consecration for his two grandsons, I would have had Dale read our gospel tonight. Hopefully, they're going to listen to this on the internet. They know what I'm talking about. They're going to immediately remember 3 years ago, Luke chapter 10, where Jesus appoints and sends out, commissions 72 more. Did you notice how our gospel reading for tonight began? After this. What a strange way to begin chapter 10 of the Gospel of Luke. After this. After what? After what? What if I wasn't here last week? What if I haven't been reading chapters 8 and 9 of Luke's Gospel? After this, after what? Good question. So let's retrace our steps. Luke chapter 8 begins with Jesus telling a parable, a familiar parable of the sower and the seed. Oh, there's lots of opposition, folks. Lots of threats and hazards. But the harvest is guaranteed by no one less than God himself. And after he tells that story, the parable, he immediately sends out the 12 apostles into the mission field. Also in chapter 8, you may recall that there is the story of the Gerasene demoniac. And the Gerasene demoniac Well, he is naked and living in a cemetery. Remember, Jesus and his disciples travel across the Sea of Galilee to the other side, the pagan side. These are people that eat pork. These are people that hang around with pigs. And Jesus goes to them. And you remember, he heals this man who has a legion, 6,000 Roman soldiers. He has a legion of demons. And then we're told that he is sitting at the feet of Jesus after he's healed, saved, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He is clothed, so to speak. He is clothed and of the right mind, the mind of Jesus, Philippians chapter 2. And he begs Jesus, let me go with you. I want to get in the boat. And Jesus says, no, you can't. I have a different mission for you. You're going to live out your discipleship by going home and by telling everyone what God has done for you. And so that story ends. We heard it 2 weeks ago. That story ends with these words. And so he went away and proclaimed to everyone he saw and told them how much Jesus had done for him. The saved are sent. One is either a missionary or an imposter. And in chapter 9 of Luke's gospel, twice in chapter 9, we hear Jesus speaking about or prophesying, predicting his impending passion. I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be rejected, despised, treated shamefully. I'm going to be crucified, and on the third day be raised from the grave. And he told it to them plainly. He even told the disciples about the cost of discipleship. Whoever wants to follow me must deny themselves daily, take up their cross, and follow in my footsteps. Whoever would save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will keep it. Whoever is ashamed of me in this sinful and adulterous generation, of that one will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in his kingly glory. And then, after Jesus is rejected by the Samaritans and the disciples say, you want us to call down fire from heaven and consume these rascals? Jesus says, no, that's not your mission. Oh, there will be a judgment. But you and I are not judge and jury. Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. Our mission is to declare how much Jesus has done for us. The saved are sent. After this, Jesus sent out 72. After what? Immediately preceding our gospel, Jesus is approached by a young man who says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then Jesus looks at a young man and says, you, follow me. And he says, I will, but I need to bury my dad. Now, maybe he's on hospice, or maybe he's getting old, and maybe he's going to pass away in the next couple of years. Jesus says, leave the dead to bury the dead. And the third one says, I'll follow you. I just want to say goodbye to my family. And Jesus says, no one who sets their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus is speaking about the radical cost of following him. And he has set his face toward Jerusalem like a flint. He has a mission. The cross, Good Friday, the empty tomb, Easter. Jesus is on a mission, and after this, he commissions 72 to go out into the mission field. Did you see the instructions he gives in Luke chapter 10? He says, I'm going to send you out in pairs. It's good to have company. You're going to go out in twos, in pairs. And just go with the clothes on your back. No suitcase, no knapsack, no credit card, no cash, no checkbook, no extra pair of shoes, no staff. Travel light. And then he says, when you meet a son of peace, they will receive you. And if they reject you, just shake it off. You're on a mission. You got work to do. You got people to tell the story of salvation to. And your mission is the good news. So get going. Expect rejection. Sheep in the midst of wolves. Understand the landscape into which I'm sending you, Jesus says. Well, they go. And they're not supposed to worry about provisions, because the Heavenly Father will be their protector and their provider. And they're not supposed to start comparing what their accommodations are with somebody else's. I mean, don't worry about it if all of a sudden you're going out there and you say, yeah, but I got a sleeping bag on a hard, dusty floor. And this other guy, he gets to sleep in a king bed, king-sized bed with air conditioning. This doesn't seem fair. Or don't compare your accommodation and say, yeah, but I've got peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and they get steak and lobster. A laborer deserves their wages. And so eat and receive what is set before you. Well, what about judgment? Well, you heard that in our gospel for tonight. Jesus says it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom, for Tyre and Sidon, than those who have blasphemed against the Holy Spirit and those who have rejected the gospel of God's grace. But judgment is not our mission. Proclamation, sharing the good news of Jesus, that's our mission. Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. And then did you notice how the story ends? Our gospel lesson for tonight, the disciples now get back. And are they pumped up? I mean, they've got exciting stuff to tell. This is the picture I have. Jesus can't get a word in edgewise, and because the disciples are, they're so excited. You've been around it. You know what I'm talking about, where everybody wants to talk at the same time. They want to tell their story. You're not going to believe this. Well, in summary, in your name, Jesus, the demons were subject to us. It was absolutely amazing. And Jesus says, I know. I was there. I saw it all. I saw Satan fall like lightning. Did you forget that I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions? And that the powers of the enemy can't harm you? Nevertheless, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice in this. Your names are written in heaven. That's eternal. Now, I don't know if you caught this, but it wasn't about good works. It wasn't about earning something. In other words, I can't write my name in heaven. Your names are written by Jesus with the blood of the Lamb who is slain and has begun his reign. Rejoice in this. Let your names are written in heaven. I want to close by telling you the story of the Groenewalds. They lived in South Africa, and of course you know about 9/11. After 9/11, Werner Groenewald, who was a pastor of a large church, Dutch Reformed in South Africa, had gone over to Pakistan on a mission trip, had gone over to Afghanistan on a mission trip, where the Taliban stronghold is present. And then he had taken his wife, Anali, with him. Now, Anali is a doctor, South Africa, in the critical care emergency area. And when they were over there in Afghanistan and Pakistan, they got a clear, irrefutable call from God to do the mission of God in Kabul, Afghanistan, the capital of Afghanistan. So they went back to South Africa, husband and wife, and at the time they had a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. And Annalise's parents said, "This is nuts. God would never give you a call to go to Kabul, Afghanistan, with a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. Jean-Pierre, JP, was the 5-year-old. And Radha was the 3-year-old. In 2003, they went to Afghanistan because that's what God had called them to do. And it was irrefutable. Nothing had ever been more clear in their whole life. It was not an easy ministry. A lot of suspicion, a lot of rejection, a lot of hostility in Kabul. But they ministered faithfully. Vander, leading, preaching the gospel whenever the Lord would open a door. Anale, ministry in the hospital as a doctor and surgeon. In October of 2014, when the kids were 15 and 17, Vander went and he spoke at a conference about the cost of discipleship. And he ended his speech with these words: "You die only once. Why not die for Christ? You die only once. Why not die for Christ?" On November 29th, about a month and a half later, 2014, Anali was coming home from the hospital where she was working at, and on the way they received notification that 3 Taliban soldiers had taken over the building that Werner and the kids lived in and worked in, along with others. When she got there, she said, "I was praying over and over again, Psalm 91. He'll give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Over and over, she said, "I knew in truth that this was not going to be good, but I kept praying and hoping." And then there was gunfire and an explosion. And on November 29th, 2014, Vander and both of the kids were killed, along with most of the others in the building. Their names were added last Saturday to the Martyrs Memorial in Oklahoma. Annalie was asked, "Do you have any regrets?" She said, "I don't regret that I was spared, but I regret that I could not be there to hold my children and my husband as they died. I know Jesus was holding them. Are you angry at God?" She said, "I've never been angry at God because I knew what the cost was, and I knew that the call was irrefutable and absolutely clear." She said, "I can still feel my husband and children with the cloud of witnesses cheering me on to finish the race. and I want to finish the race well. When I get to heaven, I'm sure that it will be Jean-Pierre that will say, "What took you so long, Mom?" Right there in the arms of Jesus. We have been called by the Lord. We have been saved by the word. Now let the gospel be heard. Now let the word be restored. Send us out to teach what God has done. Send us out to reach every single one. Send us out. Send us out. The saved are sent, clothed, so to speak. I have given you authority, Jesus says, to tread on scorpions and serpents. And the enemy has no power over you, and nothing will hurt you, eternally speaking. Nevertheless, rejoice in this. Your name is written with the blood of Jesus in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.